More love, O Christ, to thee fulfills the first and the greatest commandment. The Bible has over 31,000 verses. A sincere seeking religious leader came to Jesus at one point and said, "What is the greatest commandment?" You think about that, over 31,000 verses full of promises and commandments. And you remember Jesus' answer, the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God. And we were just singing, "More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee." A prayer and song to fulfill the first and greatest commandment. And Jesus said, the second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus said, you know, if you can do those two, it automatically takes care of all the rest. It's a big book, the Bible, a lot of verses, but so much of it is so simple, simple enough for small children to understand. And Jesus said, we sum it up, the duty of man in response to him and to one another, love the Lord your God and love each other, sums every commandment up in the whole book. The Bible is wonderfully simple and straightforward. The book of Proverbs is certainly straightforward, isn't it? I want you to join me this morning in Proverbs chapter 11. This is our 12th Sunday morning in the book of Proverbs. We took a little time off over Palm Sunday and Easter, and now we're back to Proverbs. Proverbs are God's guidelines for skillful living. They are practical, they are pointed, they are picturesque, as we will see again this morning. Over 50 subjects are dealt with in the book of Proverbs, God the Holy Spirit authoring these wise sayings through Solomon, king from 971 to 931 BC over Israel. Last week we began to view the subject of money, wealth, finances, earning, saving, spending, sharing in the book of Proverbs. And because money is so much a part of our lives, there's quite a few proverbs on the issue of money, and so we find ourselves back on this subject today from the book of Proverbs. Jesus said, you cannot serve both God and money, for you will love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Bible tells us that money is a very helpful servant, and we know that from practical experience. But the Bible also warns us that money is a horrid master. And if you make it the master of your life, and if that is what you live for, you have lived the only life that you're given on this earth. We're only given one time around, one opportunity. If you give your life to serving money and making it the master of your life, then you've lost out on the real meaning of life. Money is a helpful servant. And Proverbs says a lot about working for it, but it's a horrid master. You cannot serve both God and money. So the Lord gave Solomon wisdom in this department, and he shares it with us, and I have to be choosy about which Proverbs we look at. We looked at 10 last week, and we were reminded from Proverbs last week that the wise person understands what money cannot buy. Last week we saw Proverbs that said money cannot buy peace and tranquility. Money cannot buy love and affection. Money cannot buy a happy home. Money cannot buy righteousness before God. It's interesting, in Isaiah 55:1 and in Revelation 22:17, The same idea is conveyed from both the Old and the New Testament. And it is this: come and buy without cost, come and buy without money, the free gift of the water of life. On your own later, look at those references and see the similarity. Righteousness is a free gift from God. Jesus paid the price. He offers it to us as a gift when we receive Him by faith, His payment for our sins. So Proverbs talks about the fact that money can't buy a right standing with God or other things that really matter in life. Also, the wise understand the fleeting nature of money. We talked about that last week. Proverbs talks about it. The New Testament talks about it. The Bible says the rich fade away even as they go about their business. Don't make money your whole goal. We saw last week that the wise understand that money can give a false sense of security. And even in a land where our GNP is higher by far than any place else in the world, still it's important that on our money it says, "In God we trust," because money gives a false sense of security. You can't buy a happy home and you can't buy health either. No matter how fancy or expensive the hospital or the medical personnel, you can't buy health. So a wise person understands these things, and we go on today. The wise understand that money cannot deliver from death. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 4. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Corinthians tells us that the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and He took our unrighteousness and bore it on the cross, and He gives us His righteousness when we humble ourselves and we confess our sins and call upon Him to save us. Righteousness is a gift from God that comes by grace through faith. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. The Lord declares me righteous in His sight in Christ. I don't deserve that. I can't buy that. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath. Doesn't matter how much worldly wealth you had on the day of judgment. It's interesting, as we look ahead to the end of the age in Revelation 18:11, the global economy is destroyed. Revelation 18:11. And the Bible says the merchants of the world weep and wail because everything they lived for is destroyed. Worldwide economic collapse. Read about it. Revelation 18:11. Wealth is worthless in the day of judgment, the day of wrath. Righteousness is a gift from God for those who will receive it. 1 Samuel says, "What is man? He can't even keep himself alive." Psalm 22:29 says, "All the rich of the earth cannot keep themselves alive." Revelation 18:11, "The merchants of the world will weep." The wise understand that no amount of money can substitute for integrity. Proverbs 22:1, "And again, we only go around once in life. What kind of reputation do you want to have? How do you want others to view you?" Solomon was the wealthiest man of his day, ruling over the most powerful nation of his day, 1,000 years before Christ. And look what he has to say about it. Proverbs 22 and verse 1. "A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold." 28:6, Proverbs 28:6. Solomon says, it is better to be poor. It is better to be a poor man whose walk is blameless before God and other people. It is better to be poor with a blameless walk than to be a rich man whose ways are perverted. How many people have sold their souls to gain earthly riches? The Holy Spirit tells us through Solomon, it's better to be poor and right with God and right with others than to be rich and to have gained your riches in a fraudulent manner. Proverbs 21 and verse 5, the wise gain their money by planning. Proverbs is practical. Proverbs 21 and verse 5. The plans of the diligent. If you're diligent, you do your duty, you work. The plans of the diligent. Plan your work, work your plan. The plans of the diligent lead to profit. Plan your work, work your plan. As surely as haste leads to poverty. Think before you act, even economically. Think about how you're going to have income and how you're going to have outgo. Chet and Aaron came to the church in 95. We appreciate their faithfulness in various ways. And Chet taught for 16 years, as Kevin and we were recognizing this morning. Chet told a funny story I've heard before, and I heard it again last week, about the couple that after Christmas was over, was packing up some of the Christmas excess materially, and they go up into their attic to store it, and they look around and they say, remember that? That was last Christmas and the Christmas before that, and look, over there's the Christmas before that. And isn't it something, we're still paying on our credit cards for all of it. Plan for your income, plan for your outgo. Haste makes waste and leads to poverty. Proverbs 21, verse 5. There are others, we will move on. The wise gain their money by honest work. Chapter 20 and verse 17, we're right there. Food gained by fraud tastes sweet to a man. In the short term, wow, that was easy. Food gained by fraud tastes sweet to a man, but he ends up with a mouthful of gravel. Listen to God's word. Isn't that picturesque? How about we go home for lunch, and before we eat, let's fill our mouths with a mouthful of gravel and munch on that for a while. Proverbs says, the Lord says, for a person who gains through his life, through fraud, through dishonesty, through deception, through deceit, it may seem sweet for a while, but in the long run, it's like a mouthful of munching gravel. Take the long view. Take the eternal view. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 2, same subject. Ill-gotten, illegally gotten, immorally gotten, ill-gotten treasures are of no value. Now, there's a lot of worldlings around us that would like to argue that point. Right now, they're enjoying their ill-gotten treasures. Please remember, this is the author of life. This is the author and the finisher of our faith. This is the God speaking to us through His Word, through His servant Solomon, asking us to wise up in life and again to take the eternal view. God says, my ways are not your ways. My ways are so far higher than your ways. Don't envy the person who has profited at the expense of others through fraud, through ill-gotten, illegal gain. God says that's of no value. You may deceive yourself. You may enjoy the fruits of your bribery for a time, but it's of no value. What you steal, what you swindle, God says it's of no value. The contrast is, God says, walk with me by faith. I'll declare you righteous in my sight. I will help you to live a righteous life on a higher plane. That's what will deliver you from inevitable death. I love to say it, I say it again, nobody gets off the planet alive. Ill-gotten gain is of no value. Take the long view, take God's view on this. What did Zacchaeus do after he came to faith in Christ? He displayed his faith by being so eager to pay back multiplied times the people that he had deceived and cheated as a tax collector in Israel working for the Roman government. Righteousness delivers from death. Jesus said of Zacchaeus, see, salvation has come to this man and to his house. He's a child of Abraham by faith. Zacchaeus was not saved by paying his cheated clients back. Zacchaeus paid them back because he was saved. Changed his heart, changed his perspective. Poor Judas came to the end he came to because he never got over his love of money. He stole from the Lord's treasury in his ministry. Judas was in it for fame and fortune. He never got past it to living, saving faith. Whole different end for Zacchaeus and Judas. Ill-gotten treasures are of no value, but righteousness delivers from death. Proverbs teaches that the wise gain their money by hard work. Oh, don't hit us with that on Sunday. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. Please work. If God gives you the time and the health and the energy and the talent, the ability, the capability, please work. Don't sit around waiting for your lottery tickets to win you a living. He who chases fantasies lacks judgment. You know, it's always amazing to hear the huge purse winnings that somebody gets. And then in some cases, it's sad to learn how it changes their life in a negative way and how they squander it, but that's another issue. But I always think when I hear about people, individuals winning the millions and the hundreds of millions and even the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands, I think, how many people lost their money to make one winner? Amen. You don't run an economy on a lottery. You can't do that. Glenn Lawson's sister-in-law in a local contest, I'm happy for her. She won $70,000. That was neat. But who were the people that paid out that money and more so that there could be a $70,000 winner? They're the people that I watch in the convenience stores ahead of me buying the tickets. The Bible says, work. Don't chase fantasies. You lack judgment when you chase fantasies. And there's other ways of chasing fantasies just besides the lottery. Chapter 14, verse 23. Practical, pointed Proverbs. Chapter 14, verse 23. Hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Remember earlier the importance in the Proverbs of planning, but it says the plans of the diligent. You don't just plan and talk about your plans and plan some more and talk about your plans and talk about your plans and plan some more. The plans of the diligent, those who actually do something, come to profit. Well, here it is again. All hard work brings a profit. But mere talk, just talking about what you're going to do or talking about what you're going to get done or talking about, it leads to poverty. Pointed, direct, right where we live. Work. The wise gain their money by honest work. The wise gain their money by hard work. The wise gain their money by planning their work and working their plan. And guess what? The wise save their money. Chapter 21, 20. I know that this is not the American way. The American way is to spend more than you make. And we have opportunity to do that because of all the credit avenues available. Proverbs 21:20. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. A foolish man lives up his whole income. A wise person saves and stores up a portion of what he makes. Proverbs 21, 20. I once had a man tell me with a wry smile on his face. He said, the really smart guy, he dies $1 million in debt because he's not only enjoyed all of his money, but $1 million of the other guy's before he dies. You won't find that one in Proverbs. But I'll never forget it. Proverbs 25:16. You see, that would be an example of a worldly, selfish way of looking at a situation. Not a way that God approves of. Proverbs 25:16. The wise save their money. If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it, and you will vomit. If you are blessed with a good thing, if you are blessed with a paycheck, and you are blessed with income, or you're blessed with any good material thing, if you get some sweet income, honey, don't instantly go through it all and blow it all. Enjoy a little of it. Enjoy enough of it. Don't overdo it. Don't overindulge. Don't squander it all. wasteful squander, and you'll end up being sick at your stomach. Proverbs 25:16. Pretty picturesque. The wise not only save their money, the wise also share their money. Proverbs 14 and verse 31. By the way, if God blesses you where you can save some, then you have some to share. It can be not only a blessing to you, but a blessing to others. Proverbs 14, 31. He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. There's an interesting principle that could be a whole sermon. We do well to remember when we put others down and take advantage of others, they're made in the image of God like me, and their Creator cares. You show contempt for a person's maker when you mistreat them. You show contempt for God. What did Jesus say? Love God first, love your neighbor as yourself. Don't show contempt for your neighbor. Remember, he's made in the image of God, and his Creator loves and cares for him too, and Jesus died for him too. Okay? Don't oppress, take advantage of. But those at the last half of verse 31 who are kind to the needy honor God. The Old Testament and the New Testament alike talk a lot about sharing. The Scriptures also talk about sharing as much as is possible wisely. We don't want to squander what God has entrusted to us by just throwing it away foolishly. We need to prayerfully give and share. There gets to be a point where sharing can enable others not to do their part. So God help us. There are real needs. There are real people with real needs. God is glorified when we share and help. But when people are out just to take advantage of our compassion, the New Testament warns the early church about that, the compassion of Christians being taken advantage of by those who would swindle. The last person I passed holding a sign on a street corner in Springfield had the sign in his left hand, and he was smoking a cigarette in his right hand. Listen, my heart goes out to anybody on a street corner because I think to myself, what has happened in their life? What poor choices have they made, or what circumstances have afflicted them that they've ended up on a street corner begging? I don't know what got them there. I feel bad for them. But you know what? I am not going to stop and give that person money, because then the money God has given to me is going to buy his cigarettes. So we are to share and we are to care, but we should do it prayerfully and we should do it wisely. And we don't want to be enabling people to be sluggards. God help us in our sharing. We want to glorify you by sharing. We want to do it when there's real needs and real people with real needs. Proverbs 19:17. Don't you love this? He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. There's a real need and a real person in need, and you share not expecting repayment because that person and the need they're in can't possibly repay you. And God says when you help a real person in need with a real need, that's like loaning to me, God says, and I will repay you. Proverbs 22:9. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. God is a giving God. He asks his children by faith to be givers and sharers. And you look from Genesis to Revelation, you can't outgive God. Proverbs 28:27. He who gives to the poor will lack nothing, but he who closes his eyes to them receives many curses. I am not going to be the kind of person that never shares and never cares and never helps a person that asks for it. I'm not going to be that kind of person. I can say to myself, well, I try to be discerning. Whenever people come to church and ask for money, I shoot up a prayer. Believe me, I do. Say, Lord, guide me. Do you want me to give my money or the church's money to this person that's asking for it on the sidewalk? Lord, if you want me to, let me know, and I talk with them. I listen to them. Sometimes I help a little. Sometimes I help a little more. Sometimes I say no, and I don't. And I've had people curse me to my face. What kind of a Christian are you? You know? But honestly, I shoot up a prayer. God, give me wisdom. But don't become insensitive and don't become what's the word I'm looking for? That would work. Don't get to the point where you just say, I'm not helping anybody, I'm not giving to anybody because they're all a bunch of swindlers. No, that's not what the Bible's teaching us. Just be wise in how you share. Be wise in how you save. Be wise in how you work. Be wise in how you plan. Be wise in looking at money like God looks at money. Know that it can't save you from death. Know that it can't buy your way into heaven. Know that it can't buy a happy home. It can't buy peace in your heart. Money cannot buy the things that really matter. Be wise about your money. Earning, saving, sharing, spending. In Matthew 10:42, Jesus said to those willing to share, I tell you the truth, if you give a cup of cold water to a person in need in my name, you will surely not lose your reward. Jesus knows about everything we share. And he promises reward for that. The word I was looking for, cynical. Don't become a cynic. Don't become so cynical that you never share. Don't become so cynical that you say, every person's trying to rip me off. Be careful in how you share, but don't be cynical. Be prayerful about it. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. insulated and isolated work too. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. The wise give back to God first the money he blesses unto them. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Verse 10, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. God said through the prophet, test me on this. You can't outgive me. God doesn't need anything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns it all. God doesn't need our money. In fact, any money we have, God has given us the time, talent, ability to earn it. But what God wants us to recognize is that everything we have is a gift from Him, every good gift. And out of love and devotion and appreciation, God says, by faith, because if you walk by sight, you're not going to do this. Walk by faith, not by sight. By faith, give back the first portion I bless you with. To me, to my work, to worship of me, sharing with the ministry, sharing with others in need. Give back the first part. And look what God says in Proverbs 3:10. In 2 Corinthians 7, the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, repeats the same promise that the Holy Spirit had Solomon to write. The New Testament says, each man, each woman should give what he has decided in his or her own heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This church has not, does not, will not twist your arms for your money. First of all, it's God's money. And God loves a cheerful giver. And if you can't give by an act of your own choice and will, and if you can't give cheerfully, then don't bother. God knows your heart. If you grudgingly, reluctantly, oh, this is killing me, you might as well not give it. Who are you fooling? And then Paul goes on to remind us that God's able to increase you more than any you ever give. And he goes on to remind us, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You can't outgive God. God has given us himself. God gives us every good gift we enjoy, the breath in our lungs, our heartbeat. God gives us everything that's good. You can't outgive God. God is so gracious that he says, test me on this. Put me first by faith. Whatever I bless you with, give me back the first part, and I will just multiply it and multiply it and multiply it. And you know what? That scriptural promise and principle has been used by money-grabbing, greedy people in religion. And like I said already, this church is not that way, and I will not be that way, and we're not twisting anybody's arms for your money. Everything you own belongs to God. But I will be faithful to tell you, and I will not use it to bribe you. I will be faithful to tell you that Old Testament and New Testament alike, God says, you can't outgive me. What you choose to share, I will repay. God's economy. You decide in your own heart what you're going to share. You decide before God what you're going to save. You decide, hopefully with prayerful guidance, what you're going to spend. You seek the Lord's will and how you're going to earn, and you pray about it. How am I going to support myself and my family? God, direct me, lead me, guide me. But Lord, my whole life, I'm going to love you more than money. And Lord, I'm going to realize that money will not save me from death. It will not buy my way into heaven. Churches have lied to people about that, guys. Churches have lied to people about that. Give your money to get you and yourself out of hell and purgatory. Churches have lied about that to get people's money. I'm going to love God more than money. He's my master. Money's my servant. I'm going to work. I'm going to save. I'm going to spend wisely. I'm going to share generously. And all the way through, I'm going to realize money cannot buy a happy home and peace. Money can't buy the things that really matter. Money can't buy true friends. And on this issue of finances, aren't we glad we live in America for so many reasons? But on this issue of finances, bottom line, in God we trust. At Springfield Bible Church, in God we trust. In my family, in God we trust. When I started in the pastorate, my pay was so small in 1986 in a country church, it's embarrassing to tell you. And if God had said to me, you're going to have 9 kids and you're going to live a comfortable lifestyle, and I would have thought, 9 kids. How am I ever going to pay the bills? In God we trust. 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 And yes, we plan. And yes, we work. And yes, we don't chase fantasies. And yes, we spend wisely and we save wisely and we share. As God leads us to share, we share. Proverbs is great on money, and there's more in there on money than what we've looked at. But it's communion time. And remember what Paul said when he got through talking about money. He said, give cheerfully, give voluntarily. It's between you and God. Don't let anybody twist your arm. And then Paul said, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's what we celebrate at communion. God gave himself for us. For our salvation, thanks be to God that He is a giving God. Let's stand together and we'll sing our song as we go into communion.
Take out your hymn book, please, to number 410, please. Number 410. 410, please.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. Some wicked way in me, cleanse me from every sin and and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. O Holy Spirit, revival comes from thee. Send a revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares thou wilt supply our need. For blessings now, O Lord, I humbly plead.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Did you read and hear what we read?